Today and the next two Sundays, I'm going to do a three-part sermon series on the topic of spiritual warfare. The purpose of my series is this, threefold. The first, to raise the awareness among God's people that there are two opposing kingdoms in the spiritual realm. God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. Number two, to educate God's people on Satan's strategies against them. We must beware the enemy's strategies against us so that we may not fall into his schemes and become casualties. Number three, to equip the soldiers of Christ with the full armor of God. No soldier should ever go into the battle with no protection. So this morning, my sermon is a wake-up call for the believers in Christ from their spiritual sleep. In my humble opinion, we've been asleep for too long. Never forget that we are called to be engaged in spiritual warfare. And here's why. We are the followers of Jesus, are we not? We are his disciples, are we not? We are the citizens of the heavenly kingdom where Christ is the commander-in-chief in the army of God. We are his soldiers. Whatever the commander-in-chief commands us to do, we do. Whatever he does, we do too. Wherever he goes, we go. And wherever he leads us, we follow him. So when the same Christ is at war with Satan, so are we, folks. His enemy is our enemy. If you remember, during the World War II, on December 7, 1941, they declared war against America. For the next 4 years, America was at war with Japan. Whether we chose or not, we, the American citizens, automatically became the enemy of Japan and vice versa. Same goes with our spiritual warfare. As the citizens of the kingdom of light, we are automatically engaged in this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of darkness. If we neglect our duty, the world we live in, as if it is not dark enough, will go into a total darkness, and God will hold us accountable for what we have done or have not done with our call. It's time that you and I woke up from our spiritual sleep. Now, before I proceed, let me define what I mean by spiritual warfare so that we would stay on the same page, beginning with the word warfare. I looked up in the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, which says, I quote, "Warfare is the activity of fighting a war, especially using particular weapons or methods, such as psychological, biological, chemical, or even nuclear." I'd like to add one word to that list, spiritual. So what about spiritual? Spiritual means not physical. Everyone knows that. We must acknowledge here that there is such a world that is spiritual and invisible. Compared to the physical world we are living in that is temporal, tangible, and visible, its spiritual counterpart is eternal, intangible, and invisible. If you read Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says this, "In the beginning God created things in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible." You see, think of science. Science can never explain the invisible world because it only dwells and deals with the things visible, observable, and provable. Neither can science prove the existence of God. Why? Because God is invisible. Eternal and immortal. Neither can science understand our faith. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith deals with what we hope for and what we do not see, such as angels and eternal life, heaven and God. all of them part of this spiritual world. So let me say one more time. What I mean by spiritual warfare is this. The activity of fighting a war in this spiritual realm, invisible realm, using spiritual weapons or methods. You got that? Okay, so let me move on. I said at the very beginning of my sermon that there are two kingdoms in this spiritual realm. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. And the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of his enemy, Satan. These two kingdoms oppose each other and they are at war with each other. In the very beginning, when God created the world, there was only one kingdom, the kingdom of God. Then, sometime later, Lucifer, one of God's high angels, and it is called Son of the Morning, rebelled against God and declared war against God's kingdom, Isaiah chapter 14, 12. What happened next is that God kicked him out of heaven and Satan went down into the world we are living in now. And since then, Satan works among the rebellious and disobedient people as, quote, the God, small g, of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He rules, he dominates, and enslaves, and he oppresses the people in the world with lies, deception, and fear. In this picture, enter Jesus. In God's appointed time, we call Kairos time, Jesus appeared and proclaimed the emancipation of the prisoners and the oppressed from the grip of Satan. Jesus came to this world to destroy Satan's work. No wonder Satan and the world hate Jesus and his followers. Actually, you don't have to take my word for it. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 18 and following. This is what he says to his disciples. I quote, "You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. The world hated me first." The world Jesus refers to here represents the devil and everything under his control. Now, at this time, I'd like to draw your attention to today's second passage, which is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. If you look at the last sentence printed in your bulletin, the Son of God appeared for this purpose. What is the purpose? To destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus did not come here for political liberation, but for spiritual freedom. You know, 2,000 years ago, one day Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And people really, really impressed. They saw him healing the people and feeding them and what else he could not do. So what they wanted to do is that they wanted to make him the king of Israel. They're about to just enthrone him. Okay, you are our king, you are our Messiah. You know what Jesus did? From that crowd, he just disappeared. Quietly walked out. Why? That's not why he came to this world. He came to us with one purpose, that is to set us free from the bondage of sin and the fear of death. Wouldn't you agree with me? That should be our mission statement as well, to destroy the works of the devil. Now the good news happened at the cross when Jesus was crucified. He, at the cross, totally defeated Satan and fatally wounded him. Now it was actually prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, right after the fall of Adam and Eve, verse 15. God says, the seed of the serpent will bruise the seed of woman, referring to Christ. On the heel, however, the seed of woman will crush the seed of the serpent on the head. Now, on the day of judgment, Satan and his followers will be thrown down into hell by God forever and ever. It is recorded in Revelation 20:10. As of today, though, Satan's kingdom has not been totally overthrown, not yet. For God's mystery, I cannot explain. So until that time, spiritual warfare is on between the two kingdoms. If you get that message today, I achieved my goal through my sermon. I'm going to just close my sermon with one story that I heard 30-some years ago from a very close friend of mine, and I still vividly remember. It was so powerful to me. I hope you would remember that one too. True story. In the early 1980s, one summer day in London, England, a Christian magazine reporter was on his way to see his friend who was hospitalized, patient. So as he was walking toward that room, in one of the rooms, you know, if you go into the hospital room, walking in the hallway, you see both directions, rooms are always open. They seldom close the door unless something they do inside. So as he was walking, in one of the rooms, he saw a young girl in her teens praying on her knees. Very unusual nowadays in England, he thought. So he knocked at the door, asking for permission to speak with her. Permission granted. So he asked the girl, "I'm really impressed with what I saw you today. What are you praying about?" For the next 10 minutes or so, the girl told him what she was doing. She said, "I'm joining in prayer." So far, so good, he thought. "I'm joining in prayer many witches and warlocks in the entire England for a 3-day fasting." That got the reporter's attention. "What for? Why are you fasting?" he asked. She answered, "We are praying to Satan with one goal, that every single family in the world be destroyed." Folks, if this does not chill you, I don't know what will. What's happening in the world today? Too many families are being broken up for many different reasons, are they not? Is it just a coincidence? Or do you see any connections here? By the way, where are all the Christians and their prayers? Didn't Jesus command us watch and pray?
Yes.
I'll continue next Sunday. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, wake us up from this spiritual lethargy and sleep. Help us to realize first the world we are living in, the physical world, tangible, touchable, is not the only world we are dealing with. There's another world, invisible, in which warfare is going on between God's kingdom and kingdom of Satan. Open up our eyes, Lord, so that we do know what we need to do and do it. Once again, Lord, wake us up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.